You have served me well today, Pastor Enoch. You're welcome. Thank you. It was lost and recaptured at times by people like John Wesley and so forth. But so the inspiration of worship, the information from Sabbath school study, and the intimacy and nurture from small groups, service and evangelism, are all important to be a part of our church experience. Amen? So that we love God, we love people, and we love mission. God is trying to help us capture this. So our thesis today is that we need to get back to the first century model, the two-wing church, where we have public worship, where we get together corporately to worship, and that we have the intimacy and fellowship that comes from the house to house. And this is God's design. And we can still survive as Christians with just the one wing, but we don't thrive in the same way. And so we believe that God would want us, and I believe in the 21st century, people are built for relationships. It's really important to church. And I belong to a number of networks that are small group networks. And believe me, this is a growing part of the evangelical church. And when I was in Peru back in 2009, my wife and I went down, and everybody spoke Spanish, Francisco. But they told me it was the language of heaven, so I better learn it.
It will be.
It will be?
Yes.
They said, you better learn it, because it's the language of heaven. Please, learn it now. So anyway, I didn't learn it there, but I had a translator. And this was amazing. I don't know if it's still true, but Peru was the leading field in the world at that time in terms of growth. And they said that wasn't always true, that about 15 to 20 years before, they had gone through difficulties because of communism and so forth. And then they studied, what can we do to really have dynamic growth in the church? And they adopted a complete small group model. So they meet together on Sabbath, but during the week they have small groups. And so I had an evangelistic series at the Brazil Seventh-day Adventist Church in Lima, Peru. It was called the Brazil Church. And so they have a church of about 500 members, and they have 52 small groups. So they began by having me visit their small groups, some of them. And so this was one of the baptisms. And on the right, where on my right, which would be your left. No, you're right. That's right. You're right. Would be the baptismal candidates. And on the left are the small group leaders. Every baptism, even in the water, they wanted me to baptize. I was there as their guest and so forth. But in the water, or standing right beside the baptistry, were always the small group leaders. It was marvelous. And that's the way most all the baptisms took place. These people were all developed in their small groups. So I was really inspired by it. So today, we are going to pray for three churches. We're going to pray for Olds, Airdrie, and Stettler. And so we're going to do the same as we always do. I'm going to have the people from these churches, and we're going to have the Symingtons represent Olds, even if, and we're going to also pray for Laos, the country. Okay, so we're going to pray for Laos because Brother Symington, and your first name, I forget.
Darcy.
Pardon?
Darcy.
Yeah, Darcy. Is in Laos with Adventist Frontier Missions and has been there. You know, they say, you know, people just go over to the mission field for 1 or 2 years. But he has been there for 11 years. Amen? That's commitment. And so let's pray. And I'm going to have you come. The people that we're praying for, come here. And the others, we're going to surround you. Because this time together is not only to be informational, it's to be transformational. And we believe that comes when we pray together and so forth. So please come. And we want Stadler, Arlen, Kay, and the Symingtons, if you would come right here. And Sylvia Hebro from Airdrie is representing Airdrie today. And and Pastor Enoch.
Yes.
I'm going to have one prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'd like for you today to have the other prayer.
Sure.
Okay, and the churches are olds. Mm-hmm. Just so that, you know, sometimes when you know you have to pray for something, you really get it in your mind what it is. Olds.
Laos.
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 Laos. Laos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Airdrie. Mm-hmm. And Stettler. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And now I say, okay, I have to remember it now too.
Me too.
Airdrie, Laos, and Stettler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's pray together.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, what a joy it is for us to represent you as your ambassadors in churches. The organization that you designed to represent you in this world. Mm-hmm. It is a thrill to be a part of them. And Lord, sometimes we struggle with the humanness, the human element. It can involve struggles, but we rejoice with that divine element. And we want to represent you. We want churches to be thriving and vibrant and reflective of you. And so, Lord, today I want to uphold the representatives and the churches that we are highlighting today. And that is Stettler, which has been a church important in this conference for many years. Be with the church, I pray. And we pray for the Olds Church. It's very close to where we are. Mm. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with the Olds Church. Mm. And those that are a part of that fellowship. And Brother Darcy from Laos, Lord, as he ministers there, overseeing the English Language Institute, I pray, Lord, that you will bless him and the witness, the powerful witness that is taking place there. Mm. And I pray that you will be with the Airdrie Church. Lord, that you will guide and direct it. we know, Lord, that your witness has been important there. And we have seen recently many baptisms, a powerful witness. Sylvia is here today from Airdrie, and they run monthly the outreach to the community on health and well-being. So Lord, we just entrust them today to you. Work through them they will honor you in their communities. We pray in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we give you thanks that you've given us a mission to fulfill. Amen. To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that you've commanded.
Yes.
And as we seek to fulfill this mission, we realize our nothingness. We realize without you, there's nothing we can accomplish.
Yes.
And we know you could have used holy angels to do it, and it would have been done long time ago. And yet, dear Lord, in your mercy and for our salvation, you chose to use us. So we humble ourselves this afternoon because we are in need of you, dear Lord. And specifically, we want to lift the churches that have been mentioned. Olds, Laos, Stadler, and Edry. That, Father, you bless their pastors. You bless their elders, the members. And all of them will work as a team to lift your name in those communities. And with the power of your Holy Spirit, with your holy angels working with them, we believe that success will be seen. We look forward to hear a testimony next year for what you will do this year round.
Amen.
For these things we pray and trust in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great praying together, isn't it?
Yes.
Now what we're suggesting is that we pray together, that we pray for each other during the year. And then next year, we come to camp meeting, we'll hear testimonies like, wow, what a year we've had in our church. We've had a breakthrough. And we'll say, I kind of know one reason for that. We've been praying constantly. So we want it to be transformational. Okay, we can go back to our seats. And tomorrow is the last day, so we're going to be praying for Canmore. We're going to pray for Canmore tomorrow. We will be praying for all the churches, Cambrian Heights, all the churches that we haven't been praying for. We'll pray for Nicaragua. What else are we missing? And I don't know what church you go to in Australia, but we'll pray for it.
Redcliffe.
Pardon?
Redcliffe.
Great Cliff?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not so familiar with that church. But I know you.
It's on the north side of Brisbane.
Okay. Okay. So we'll pray for Great Cliff tomorrow. By the way, did either of you know Julian Archer? He's here from Australia. Do you know him? Yeah? I've been inspired by him. So today, we are going to look a bit at the importance of small groups. And I have our pastor from Mountain View, Honey Todd, who's going to share some of our experience and some ideas from small groups. And I'm really excited about the small groups. In fact, I was thinking of doing the whole series this week on small groups. And I called Sandra Deer and she said, we already have a seminar on small groups. So I thought, I'll just get one day in. So Sylvia said that she has been going to that seminar on small groups. And Sylvia, you were inspired by it. I mean, have been. Hasn't been finished. And if you could just capture in just briefly what picture, what aspect inspired you? We will accept that, Sylvia, as information, but it doesn't take away from your responsibility. Okay, so what kind of things was inspirational to you from the small groups?
I didn't really know what kind of a seminar I wanted to go. I thought, I wonder what they're all about. And then the small group sounded like it would be a challenge, and I didn't know if I wanted a challenge either. But when I got there, that Pastor Ricardo Bain is so full of life and so enthusiastic, you get involved before you even realize it. You get involved and you just think, this sounds so wonderful. And he said you can even use it for Sabbath school, which we have been trying a bit to use, but now we have a lot more material. And Jesus is the center. That's the neat thing.
That's great. And would you hold up the material for those that are not familiar with it? It's not inexpensive, but it is inspirational and helpful.
It's Got Jesus is what it's about.
Got Jesus. It's available at the ABC.
He publishes it himself, and you can get it at ABC. Also go buy it from him about $6 cheaper.
Oh.
But I don't think he has hardly any left.
And he's got the first 10 weeks of the small group all planned out for you. Day one, day two. Yeah. There's a journal to go with it. And you know, it's for the non-Adventist Christian or a Buddhist or a Muslim, and it's not going to be talking about the 2300 days or anything
right.
like that. It's a relationship
builder, and starts to get people involved and so forth. Now, thank you for that. I'm going to ask my wife, do you know the story about the multiplication of the loaves and fishes in the Bible?
And division?
Pardon?
And division, so
yeah.
People have to share.
I don't have enough for everybody, but I'll tell you what I can do. I mean, what you can do.
I can go over and get some more.
Oh, can you? They have.
I'll be absent for a while first.
Yeah, they have enough for.
No, okay. I was just going to say, I think Pastor
Bain
only has about 4 cents left, so if you want one of those four, you better
be
before you even start.
Okay. Now, this is the resources that they're advertising through the ABC on small groups. So, okay. In North America, evangelism thrives when people have a prior relationship with the church or members. And you'll notice in Matthew 18 to 20, what did I put up there? Yeah, 18 to 20. It says that we should go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them. Sometimes we're only concerned about baptizing them and not making disciples. You understand what I'm saying? And so there are times when people aren't grounded, and so that's not what God wants. The baptism, the instruction and the baptism is an essential part of disciple making, amen? So the evangelism is really important. What we said yesterday, very important. But what we're saying today is very important. We need to transition the church to a discipleship model. Discipleship model is how we can bring people together and grow together in Christ. And we develop leaders. The key words for small groups are intimacy and involvement. We become more intimate, we become more involved through small groups. And you will enhance Sabbath morning if people have had an experience during the week. And so at times evangelism emphasizes baptism without discipleship, and this isn't lasting. The discipleship model, small groups with koinonia, has been God's plan from the beginning of the Christian church. We just read it, didn't we? In Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is describing koinonia when they got together and they shared together powerfully. The difference between George Whitefield and John Wesley is that George Whitefield emphasized public meetings, public evangelism, public meetings, but without the relationship model. And a lot of people came to Christ, but it didn't sustain in the same way. John Wesley, he had large group meetings, but he had primarily small groups. The Methodist movement began with the what they call the class meeting, small group meeting, and it became just so powerful. And so the importance of the discipleship model is that 75 to 90% of people who accept Christ as their Savior and Lord do it with the primary influence being a friend or a relative. And while everything else, worship service, the pastor, church programs, evangelistic meetings, and so forth play an important role, your church needs to become more aligned with the way people make decisions. And so is public evangelism important? Yes, but not without the relationship model. It's not as powerful, especially in today's world. Also, people do not stay in the church unless they have 6 to 10 people in the church they consider their friends. And if they are immediately brought into a small group, they immediately have the 6 to 10 people that they can consider. Because if they just come to the worship service, they worship, and then they leave and go home, or even if they come to the fellowship meal, and I know we have a fellowship meal every Sabbath, and it's great, but you don't even accomplish at the fellowship meal, even with the interactions, what you do in a small group. You really get close to one another. You go through each other's struggles together. You pray for one another as they're going through their difficulties, and you're really growing people. And if I can give a little testimony about my son. He's been in the church. He's in our church in Mountain View. And he loves the church and the family. But 2 years ago when we instituted the small groups, or maybe it's been longer, he agreed to take to have one in his home. And he would be the leader of the small group. And I have seen the growth that has taken place, because now he has kind of a group to shepherd, and that puts responsibility, and these people keep connected. It's been great. So the transitional model of our church, the traditional model of our church, is program. This comes in inviting people to evangelistic meetings, felt needs, or social programs. But unless there is a significant relational component, it may not be sufficient to attract them to attend church regularly or become a follower of Jesus. You need the intimacy and involvement that comes from these fellowships. And many times with the program model, there's little interaction or intimacy that occurs. So, 4 reasons for the discipleship model. It's a more biblical approach that was utilized by the early Christian church that experienced rapid growth. It is the biblical model that was utilized by the early Adventist church, which experienced rapid growth. And this model is one that more adequately prepares a church for the end time, which experiences rapid growth. And it's a model utilized by the early Christian church and the Adventist church. and it busts the bystander effect. Do you know what the bystander effect is? When I read that, I was wondering, what is the bystander effect? So the bystander effect... Pardon?
Is one who doesn't really integrate and having their bystanders are on the outside looking and haven't been fully integrated.
And the term is used when there is a crisis and there are people who witness the crisis, but nobody does anything because they think there's enough people there for somebody else to do it. But what they have observed is that if you shrink the number of people that are exposed to that situation, the responsibility to the individual comes. You understand what I'm saying? So when you have a small group and you have a need that exists, the people will say, okay, what can we do to help? But if you have 100 people, they'll think, well, somebody else can do it. So small groups bust, it says, the bystander effect. And and that's why small groups are really important. And it's a basic building block for the Christian church. Natural Church Development studied 1,000 churches, and they said the most fundamental health and growth factor in all of these churches was whether or not they had holistic small groups. And it's important for leadership development because you're training leaders of the small groups. And each group should have a mission component, something that they do in service. And last thing I'm going to mention before I'm going to ask Pastor Honey Todd to come and share is that some people say, well, what are we going to do with our children? If we have small groups, what do we do with the children? And so I don't know what everyone does, but I know that in the small group where my son, they wrestled with this because they have two kids. They happen to be also my grandchildren. and then the people that came were in a similar age group, and so they had more children. So what are they going to do with the kids during this hour? They eat together, and then they said, okay, let's have a children's small group. And believe me, the children lead out in their own small group. The adults don't go up. The children...
They check in on them.
Pardon?
They check in on them.
Do they?
See,
a grandmother is concerned about things that a grandfather probably isn't. But, okay, they check in on them. But they do well, and then they develop skits that bring them down. It's been a growth time for these kids. So, yes, you can have something for the children as well. And so, our pastor has led out in initiating this in the church. And so I asked her if she would come and share maybe some of the themes, some of the things that have helped make small groups important in Mountain View. And coming in the middle of September, we're going to be back. We take seasonal breaks. But Pastor Todd, if you would share with this small group about the experience of Mountain View.
So just like Don's saying, you know, all the research says small groups are absolutely vital, and I knew that. And when I started at Mountain View, we didn't need to have small groups because they were a small group. But it grew, and then it got to a place where it was large enough where I thought small groups would be useful, and I wanted to do it because they're really important. But I couldn't get anyone who was interested in doing small groups.
Pastor, do you know what they told me? I'm supposed to give this to you.
Okay.
And I think if you pinch that, it'll just put on your...
Okay. So the church grew to a size where it was big enough to actually have a few small groups. And I talked with them all. We talked about Bible study small groups. I started one. We had 3 people. That was it for a year. And then I thought, well, maybe interest groups, you know, got together a group of ladies who liked quilting and, you know, but nothing ever took off. And I prayed about it for a long time. Said, okay, God, I don't know what to do with regards to small groups. And then I went to a prayer conference down in the United States, and they talked, one of the seminars I went to talked about the house of prayer. And I understand Don shared with you earlier in the week about our house of prayer service, and I was so excited about it. And I just said, where are you going to do this? I didn't ask if anybody else was on board. I said, we're going to do this once a month. And so we started our house of prayer service once a month, and we did it for a whole year. And towards the end of that year, we bought a whole heap of copies of the book, 40 Days of Prayer, or one of those. No, that was after. So I was still focusing on prayer.
Right.
And
Dennis Smith.
And we didn't have small groups per se. We had one, we had a women's group and we had a youth group, but that was about it. And the 40 days of prayer, I invited people to do it, you know, and to partner up with someone and have a prayer partner, that sort of thing. And then towards the end of that year, went out, because we did it over 6 weeks. So we'd had house of prayer service for nearly a whole year, and we'd had the 40 days of prayer. And the Lord put in my path this book. It just kept showing up everywhere. Any of you familiar with it? This is the Bible. Only it's got parts missing. They have taken out all the storyline and put it together chronologically. So, you know, when it talks about Abraham, it's got parts from Genesis, it's got parts from Hebrews 11, it's got parts from Romans, and, you know, anything to do with Abraham all comes in together in the Genesis part. So it tells the story chronologically, and you can get it in New KJV, or you can get it in NIV. I picked NIV. And as you go through, you'll see most of it's just in regular print, but over here there's a little bit in italics. And the bit in italics is a little bit that these authors have added, and it's like linking pieces, just to link this story with that one and give a little bit of the historical context or whatever. But the vast majority of it is simply scripture. And so I started praying, said, okay, God, what do we do? And Don came up with a suggestion. He said that what they did in one of his churches to do small groups was they picked a book, they bought enough copies for every family in the church, and then the elders went round and delivered them to every family. And so we took it to our servants' council, which is Mountain View's board. And at the time, the book was $5. If you bought them bulk, you could get them for $5. And the board voted, yes, we are going to pay to buy one of these for every family in the church. And then the elders were all rostered on to go and visit with every family. We had 3 months to go and visit and deliver the book, let them know that, you know, we were going to start small groups, and to say, you know, look for the small groups that are available and sign up. Now, I didn't have small group leaders. We were just, we're going to have small groups and you can sign up. And I was praying and saying, okay, God, what are you going to do about leaders? And I had people contacting me out of the blue and saying, honey, I was just thinking maybe I could lead a small group. I've never led a small group before and I really don't know what to do, but you know, maybe I could lead a small group. Yes! And it was wonderful. And we had Mountain View, a little church, like 120 people or 100 to 120 at that point. We had 8 small groups and each small group had, you know, like 6 to 12 or 14 people in it. So that was the curriculum. There was a book that I bought that went along with it and it had study guide questions. And a lot of them I copied the questions out. Others I added in my own questions and then I would email the questions out to everybody on the church list. Because whether you're in a small group or not, you had the book. And so I'd email the questions out to everyone and then the small group leaders just, you know, took you through the questions. What came along with that, there was a DVD, so we watched a DVD for about 15 minutes and then we had our small group. There was assigned pages to go with it. So that's the DVD that came with it. There was a second one that was for teens. So in our youth group, we would watch the teen version of the DVD, which was really quite different, and then use that as the basis for our discussions. And there was the story for kids. There was a whole curriculum for kids as well. And that's when Corcoran's grandchildren first stepped up to the plate and said, I'm going to lead the small group. And they, you know, like 7, 8 years old, created their own program, got on the computer, typed it out, and then showed it to mum. And, you know, they were just amazing. And they have their own small group. It was incredible. That was 3 years ago. So for the last 3 years, we have had a very, very strong small group program going at Mountain View. We had small groups in, you know, different parts and people would go and join one either near where they lived or where they could get a ride to, because there was a couple who were new to the country. They didn't have a car. But someone in this small group said, well, we'll give you a ride if, you know, if you want to join this small group. Yes. And it was really great because people started getting integrated. Mountain View is a very, very multicultural church. We have people from Nigeria and Kenya and Bulgaria and Moldova. And at that point, the Ukraine, but they moved. Yep, and Australia and Egypt and, you know, we just have lots and lots of different people who are all immigrants and a lot of them speak their own languages. And so at church, you know, all the Bulgarians would be together and all the Russians and Moldovans would be together and, you know, and there wasn't the integration and the connection happening that I wanted to see happen until we started our small groups. And then we had people mixing together. And even just like straight old Canadians who just speak English, there was a lot of them who would come to church, but they weren't really connected with anybody else in the group until they joined a small group. And it was just beautiful to watch all of these connections happening. And as people felt connected with each other, they were more willing to participate and to do things and to try things and lead out in things. And it was just really wonderful. I loved watching it. The reason I gave all the preamble is because my belief is that the small groups are only successful because we are a praying church. Because we prayed for a year before we started our small groups. And I am absolutely positive that it was the Holy Spirit moving on people's hearts through that focus and emphasis on prayer every month that had them open and ready to step up and say, I'll lead a small group. I've never done it before, but I'll do it. And it wasn't just Mountain View. There is a thirst for that intimate connection, because the small group started growing, but it wasn't Mountain View, it was people from other Adventist churches in Calgary hearing the news about these amazing small groups that were happening, and I go, oh, can we come? Can we join? You know? And so we had people from other Adventist churches in Calgary coming and wanting to be part of the small group as well. And now, in one of the largest central church at Calgary, they've started a big push on small groups, because a lot of the central people were at our groups and they're going, we need this in our church. And so now Calgary has this flourishing, Calgary Central has this flourishing small group process happening. And it's dynamic. And we started with this one, which is scripture. It is the Bible. So it was nothing complex or, you know, it's the story, the greatest story ever told. And as people were going through, you'd hear them talking at church going, you know, I'd never put that prophet with that king. Because when it would talk about a particular king, it would also tell the stories of the major and minor prophets who were interwoven into that historical time period. And they go, I didn't realize that they were at the same time. And things were just opening up for them in scripture like they never had before. There was 31 chapters, so we had 31 weeks. And we start the small group, we break at Christmas time, we take 2 or 3 weeks off over Christmas because that's a really, really busy period and you've got, you know, holidays and everything else. And then we usually take 1 or 2 weeks off at spring break, and then we have July and August off in summer. Mountain View is a very, very young church. Don and Phyllis and I are like the old guard at Mountain View. There's not a lot of... Yeah, I did the stats last year, and I think there was 19% of the people at Mountain View were over 40. So, you know, 81% of the people at Mountain View were 40 or under. And it's like, yeah. Now, quite a number of them are 40, 41 now. but it's a really young church. And so come summer, phew, they're gone. They go camping, they go holidaying, they, you know, get away on the weekends. And so we take a break from our small groups and then we come back together. So we started with the story, which is, as far as I'm concerned, it's just scripture. It's non-denominational because it's just scripture. But then we went and did something that was very denominational. Thunder in the Holy Land. Are any of you familiar with this? Okay, it's a DVD series. Lots of DVDs. It was produced in America, and then the rights were given to Chris Holland to do a Canadian version with him as host rather than the American guy as the host. And every DVD, you've got Chris Holland, the It Is Written guy, who speaks as the host and introduces a topic. And then you've got these 3 or 4 young people who are on location in the Bible lands, and it's like a news reporting, you know, telecast type thing with Chris in between. And you can go online to Thunder in the Holy Land and you just print off the worksheets, and as you watch it you go through and there's little blanks and he has verses come up on the screen, you fill it in, and then there's discussion questions at the back. And that went for 27 weeks. So we did that, and then, so that was very, very Adventist, and then we went and this year did this one, Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. So, not an Adventist writer, but there's nothing in there that's problematic. You know?
One sentence.
Yeah, that's about it. And it's so good. It's really about building intimacy with God, experiencing Him on every level of your being. So we went through that, and again, that was about 26, 27 weeks as we went through it. And as I'm, you know, listening to the people talk, I've got people saying, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm really looking to see where is God working around me. What, you know, what can I do to join in with what God is doing? And there was this raised awareness that God is working and we need to be participating with Him. Amen. We're not just playing church on Sabbath, you know. And then a young family, you know, came to me and said, honey, we just want to give you a heads up that we're praying. And if the Lord leads us to mission work, then we're willing to go wherever He leads us. And I thought, wow, you know, these people who are just willing to whatever God wants me to do, I'm there. And that came out of going through this. This year, when we come to September, when we start again, doing things slightly differently. How many of you have heard of Shadow Empire? Yep, yeah, the pastors. Okay. Shadow Empire is a four-part thing done by Sean Boonstra. So again, it's DVD and there's four episodes and they have little worksheets that go with it. And it has a look at, just see where the blurb is. It has this really cool blurb to start with. I don't know where it is. Anyway, the subtitle is The Rise and Fall of Religious Freedom. So it's looking at the growth of Christianity within the first few centuries after Christ. And it talks a lot about Constantine and the influence that he had and what was going on. And again, it's Sean Boonstra on location in these places over in Europe and the Bible lands and wherever the story is taking place. He is there presenting it. And it's really, really well done, really interesting. So we have previewed it with the youth. We have a youth group of about 12 people aged between 16 and 26. And they've watched it and they really liked it. They said, this is good. And I thought, if the youth say it's good, then it's probably good. So in September, we're going to come back together. The first time we get together will just be all the small groups doing a meal and sharing all their God sightings over the summer, all the ways in which they were aware of God's presence and where they felt they were working with God, and just a time to catch up and reconnect after 2 months apart. Then we have our church camp out. Most of our small groups are on a Friday night. Have our church camp out the next weekend, and then the weekend after that we start our four-week series on Shadow Empire. At the moment, it's only published as a big church event, because I rang them up and I said, okay, I want multiple copies of the DVD, but I cannot see anywhere where I can just buy the DVD. I have to buy the whole church kit, which costs a lot of money. And I've already bought the church kit. I just want the DVDs. And they told me that at the end of July, just a few weeks away, they will be publishing it as a small group kit. So you get the DVD and you get 12 sets of the Bible studies that go with it and whatever else you need to run a small group. So we'll get the small group kits and then, you know, we'll do that for 4 weeks. And that leads into a Pale Horse Rides. Have any of you heard of this one? Okay, this is the sequel to the Shadow Empire. It's a three-part DVD thing. And it starts on the last weekend in October to coincide with the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 Theses to the door. So this is about the Reformation. You know, the Pale Horse Rides, the rise and fall of religious freedom in those first few centuries. And then this is about coming up again. So we're going to do it as a outreach event at church, so Friday night, Saturday morning during church, and Saturday evening, and invite the public to come along. And at that, we will have advertised our small groups. And what we're going to do this coming year is a series on the Sermon on the Mount, how to, you know, live the kingdom way. And that's my project that I'm working on at the moment, is developing a curriculum of about 22 to 25 studies on the Sermon on the Mount. Does that all make sense?
Mm-hmm. Where do you get them from? VOP?
Yes. VOP, Voice of Prophecy. VOP. Yep. So, yes.
How often, I like the idea of the small groups, how often do they meet during the week, and how long does one session last?
The small groups meet once a week. A lot of them are on Friday night. We have a small group that meets Monday morning. We have another one that meets Wednesday night, but the majority of them meet on Friday night. And each small group meeting is usually 1.5 to 2 hours. So some of them start at 6:30 and finish at 8:30. Others start at 7:30 and finish at, you know, 9:15 or...
So all your small groups do the same program?
Yeah. So that we're all on this same program, not always the same page, because sometimes this small group won't meet that week, you know. Okay. So the group that meets on Wednesday night, we're usually finished at first because we're there every week. But the ones that meet, you know, on the Friday night, sometimes they'll miss a week here or miss a week there, and so they're, you know, 3-4 weeks behind. So our Wednesday night group then just does something extra. Yes.
So the church plant has been in process for about 10 years?
Mountain View?
Yes.
It has been in existence for about 40 years. It was really big, and then it got really small, and then it got big, and then small. And when I came on board there 12 years ago, it was around about 15 on a good day.
So do you have a church building fund project, momentum, thrust going?
Yeah, Mountain View owns land. They own 5 acres. And but we can't build on it yet because of city restrictions and regulations. And then we have a building fund in addition to that, which is not really big at the moment. We're just starting a push because 2021 is when we should be able to build on our land, and that's 4 years away. So we thought, okay, if we do a push of fundraising for the next 4 years, we should be ready to build. Yes.
Is it possible to get those resources on the paper itemized so that we can distribute to people here?
We have
resource for you while I send it out.
Yep.
So you're talking about
just listing off these things?
Yes, that she's been sharing with us.
The whole, like the story and all of that.
Yeah.
We can probably look
at that. So this year, when we go through the Sermon on the Mount, our book that we follow is Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. So each week they will have the relevant Bible passage and then the relevant pages from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. And I'm creating a question sheet. So the first half is, you know, what is the meaning of the passage biblically? And then the second half is applying it. How do I apply this to my life?
So that's not a resource you can get from that source.
I'm just making it up.
Yeah, and that's why it would be nice to get that one on the paper. So when that comes out, we can.
Yeah.
She could be.
And you know, the story is a great one to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our people just love.
Yeah.
We
bought so many extras. You got any leftovers? And people were giving them to their family as Christmas presents and giving them to neighbors and giving them to friends. I had workmen come to my door and we got into a spiritual conversation and I said, hey, if you've never read the Bible, this is a really good place to start, and gave them the story, and you know, it was good.
This is really interesting. So How do you manage the challenge with the diversity that you have? Do you find people that come from one country wanting to be in one group, or do you mix them, or how do you allocate the group? Do you do it based on the address where they live, or based on their working schedule? Because I hear you saying some of them meet in the morning, some
yep.
in the evening, that kind of stuff.
So the group that meets in Monday morning is a women's group, you know, so we're not working outside the home, but this is a women's group. As for the composition of the other small groups, we didn't assign anyone to any groups. We said, these are the leaders, these are the parts of the city in which they live, pray about it and go find your own group. So there was integration, the, you know, the different ethnicities integrated, except for one group that started just a year ago, and they're Portuguese speaking, and they have invited non-Adventist and unchurched friends who don't do English, so they have their own curriculum, and it's all in Portuguese. But my plan is, and this just came to me in the last few weeks while I've been immersing myself in this creating of a curriculum, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, we should be able to get that in Portuguese and Bulgarian and whatever else. So I will contact the powers that be and see how much it costs and how long it will take to get it here and get copies in their languages. And it, because we have a number of Bulgarians who don't speak English. They come visiting family and they stay for 6 to 8 months. And what I normally do is email my sermon to one of our Bulgarian people who has a program to translate it into Bulgarian, and then he prints it off and gives it to his family and, you know, in-laws and outlaws and everything else. And I thought, with the curriculum that I'm developing, maybe other language groups have the same program, and I could, so even the Portuguese people, we could send the curriculum to them. It could all be translated into Portuguese, and they've got Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing in Portuguese, and then we'll all be on the same page. Wow. I don't know. It's a thought.
Good information.
So, I've gone over time. Sorry.
Great. We're going to need to bring this to an end because they have another seminar coming, but you had a...
Oh. Pardon. You had a question. Oh.
Oh, I was just saying, like, the children's programs, they don't all come with children's programs.
No, they don't all come with children's programs.
And so, like, the one that our son and his wife are doing, his wife gets together some stuff.
Yeah.
Children, everything. It's extra work, but it's worth the effort.
Thank you, Pastor Todd.
Thank you.
For coming and sharing. About the small groups, you know, let me just, we were able to help some of the people who were in my son's group were from Central Church, and so tomorrow you're going to hear some people from Central Church tell about their visioning, because one of the chapters that we're to go over is to develop a two to three year plan. So I want them to tell their story. It really, they've done well. And so they asked if I would come over, share a little bit about small groups. At the end, they made an appeal, and they have now upward toward 30 small groups going at their church. It's a real blessing.